Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, we're talking about something very exciting. Pruning. Depth of character. You know, even if you have established, some people have established a lot of character in their lives. You know, some people weren't raised in high levels of character. But we're talking about pruning, and we're going to get right into it as soon as the faith kids go. God bless you, faith kids. You're free to go. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is good. Hallelujah. Keep that. We're talking about pruning, and we have a couple of different scriptures that we've looked at. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into this. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I yield myself to you, the gift that you have in me. As a minister, as a pastor, I ask that you speak through me. Give me utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak. Lord, I believe to speak the truth in love, truth that helps with clarity, that will bring understanding, practical, simple gospel. Lord, that people have no problem walking out. We just thank you for it, Holy Spirit. You're our teacher. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Pruning. Why pruning is necessary? Pruning fruit trees is a necessary chore that improves sunlight penetration and increase of air movement through the tree. Pruning also develops the structure of the tree so that it can support the crop load. How many people, you'd like people to look at you and go, they have the fruit of the Spirit in abundance in them. Crop load. Amen? It can support the crop load. Pruning, what it does is it supports the crop load, but damaged limbs are susceptible to disease and insect infestation that could further damage the tree. How many have met Christians that have insect infestation? How many have met a diseased believer before? You know, that should not be that way. But it does happen. And sometimes the reasons could be legitimate to why that took place. But how many know this? I was actually listening to Joyce Meyer a while back. This was years and years ago. And how many appreciate that ministry? That's a wonderful ministry. But anyway, and she was talking about, you know, her life has not been easy, okay? Her own dad molested her. She was abused sexually by two other men, I believe, in her life as well, that were doctors or were supposed to be helping her, and they took advantage of their position and abused her again. And one time she was seeking the Lord and praying and doing some study on stuff, and she was upset about these things, obviously, in her life and how they had affected her. And these type of things affect more people than you realize. People just don't say anything, which, you know, you probably wouldn't run around and commercialize that because it's embarrassing, it's frustrating, it's hurting, all those things. But she was frustrated about it, and the Lord actually spoke to her and said, he said, Joyce, it is, the reason why you are the way you are is because of those things. It is a reason why you are the way you are. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, but it is not an excuse to stay that way. Now, the Lord would have to take somebody like that and give that to that person in order to share it with somebody else, because nobody can look at her and go, you can't say that to me. You haven't been through what I've been through. And she could probably stand up and say, actually, I've been through worse. So when it comes to growth spiritually and developing, pruning has to take place in our lives. Sometimes pruning takes place in the removal of diseased things. Sometimes pruning takes place in the removal of what looks like something that is healthy growth, but it could stunt the growth of something else, and so it has to be removed. Amen? So, pruning of trees should always be done with a purpose in mind. The purpose for pruning are varied, the purposes. Some pruning is done to change or train a plant's growing pattern or to restrict a growth. Isn't that interesting? Do you think, you know, have you ever done this? Those of you who've been saved a little while, you've thought, I want to do this with my life. And the Lord says, nope, I want you to do this. What is that? That's pruning. That's the Lord saying, no, I don't want that to grow right there. I want you to grow right here. Does that make sense? My plan for you is to do it this way. When you are obeying the Lord and following Him and you're allowing these things to take place in your life, the correction, the discipline, everything, the pruning that takes place, what happens is the grace of God, which is already in you in seed form, begins to manifest and show itself on a greater and greater level. Do you know that just because you're born again, you do not automatically walk in all the graces that God has for you? Sometimes it's taught that way. People have this opinion. They have this thought, well, I'm born again. I'm under the grace of God. And so everything's just going to work the way it's supposed to. Not necessarily. You have to follow the Lord in what He's called you to do. And He is specific. Amen. Not specific like I've had some people come up to me through the years at different times, sometimes at, you know, like a youth camp or sometimes in some sort of meetings, and they hear that they're supposed to do exactly what God calls them to do and they get panicky about it. Like God's not patient, you know? Or like, what if I'm missing it? Well, let me just help you with something. God knows where you live. How many think God knows your phone number? Okay? He knows exactly where you're at. All we need to do is put ourselves in a position to what? Hear, yeah, listen. And then you can obey. Amen? And follow the Lord in that. So pruning, its purpose is to train a plant's growing pattern or to restrict growth in another area. Other forms of pruning may be required to maintain and improve plant health or the quality of flowers, fruit, and foliage. And most of the time in a believer's life, especially if they've been walking with the Lord for a while, that's exactly what the Lord's doing. He's going through and He's going, no, I don't know if I like this relationship for you, so I'm going to remove this one. And how many know that sometimes when something is removed, it hurts? Let's go to Hebrews 12, please. I want to show you something. I want to make something clear here this morning. Hebrews is in the New Testament, of course. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read a scripture we left off with last week, and I just want to make a couple of comments, and then we'll get into 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to end up. Thank you, Lord. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6 says this. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Would the Lord rebuke you? Let's read it again. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Would the Lord rebuke you? Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, He what? Oh. And He scourges every son whom He receives. Praise God. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, which is correction, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten or correct? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers. How many children of God are partakers of chastening? All, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So if you're not being corrected, you might be in a sore position here. You might want to look at your life and look at it and go, okay, what's going on here? Am I just bumping along through life and making every decision? I'm not even aware that the Lord's there. That's not okay. I said, that's not okay. You better be aware that the Lord's there and that He's showing you what He has for you and correcting and leading you. Amen. So He says this. Furthermore, verse 9, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Now, Paul is not writing to non-Christians. Paul is writing to Christians, and what is he telling them? He's telling them, look, you need to readily submit to the Lord, the Father of spirits, which means some Christians may not, right? Why write this? If everybody's submitting, if everybody's in subjection to the Father, if all Christians are walking in a place where they're just absolutely obeying the Lord in every area, what's the purpose of writing that scripture? Did Paul make a mistake? He's like, well, I know the Holy Spirit wants to say this, but I have my own opinions. No, that's not what happened. Amen? This is good. How many know, say this, say the Lord loves me, so he corrects me. I receive it. For they indeed, for a few days, verse 10, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So the Lord does it that we may be partakers of his holiness, which basically means this: we're corrected or instructed in righteousness in order that we may partake of God's blessings or of godliness or of the God nature that is in us now. Amen. Okay? So then he says this, verse 11, now no chastening seems joyful for the present. Does correction come with woohoo? I love this stuff. How many have kids? How many have spanked them? Do they walk away going, oh, thank you. Yes, the joy, it's all over me. No, that's not what they do. Thank God I got kids. I've got more sermon illustrations out of my kids than... Praise the Lord. It was the Lord's idea. Okay, so now no chastening seems joyful for the present. That means when God corrects you, are you just going to be flat giddy about it? No, you're not. Now, which part of you won't be? Your flesh. But why is God doing it? So that your spirit, which is the true you, can have proper expression. Do you know that sometimes when you pray about something, you won't just get an answer, you'll get a correction? You know, we do this in Pentecostal, charismatic, word of faith, woohoo, circles. Well, the Lord said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst, and if we touch and agree on this thing, it'll be done. Is that true? Yeah. But what if something doesn't quite work, or what if instead of the manifestation coming, a correction comes? See, when we pray, it's a two-way street, right? In other words, God, we should be listening to him, to what he's saying, because, you know, to promote health in our lives, sometimes you need correction, sometimes you need pruning, sometimes you need to cut something out of your life in order to get the manifestation of God's promise to come freely through your life. Amen. What other doctrines come up with is, well, you prayed about it, nothing happened, it must not be God's will because he's sovereign. I don't find that in Scripture. Now, there's Scripture that talks about his godliness and his sovereignty in that sense, but it's not, this relationship with God is not gambling. It's not a crapshoot. Come on, Jesus. Hear the prayer, hear the prayer, hear the prayer. Oh, nope, no, he didn't like that prayer. Okay, give me the dice again. Give me the dice again. No, that's not what it is. He hears us, but we need to listen, and he'll instruct us, correct us, direct us. Come on, if you're not correctable, you're not directable. Well, I just don't feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. Are you correctable? Because if you're correctable, you're directable. Nobody can tell me anything. Okay. Don't get mad when the road sign said turn left and you turned right. Bless the Lord, amen. You know, if you'll let that sink in and you'll take it home and meditate on it, it'll help you. Some of the most difficult things in my life were when I realized, oh, duh. That brick wall hurts. How come I ran into it 10 times in a row? And the Lord was going, go this. Oh, he hit it again. All right, pick him back up. You go there. Oh, man, he did it again. And people say, well, why are you like that? Because I have a lot of zeal and I've increased my knowledge, thank God. Because I will run if you just put me down. Wah! You know, and people are, what are you doing? I'm living for the Lord. Bam! Oh, maybe you ought to slow down. You know, and we do that as Christians because we're excitable. We love the Lord. I believe it comes out of real passion. But But how many know passion needs direction? Passion needs correction. Passion needs understanding and knowledge. Passion needs to submit to the elders in the body of Christ and listen. Why? Because they can help you avoid. They can tell you. Now, when you take off in this direction, just be careful. You want to take a left about 40 paces that way because there is a brick wall and it hurts. And they say, how do you know? See the scar on my forehead? That was from my older brother, actually. But anyway. So he says this. Now, no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the what? Peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are what? Trained by it. Does peaceable fruit of righteousness automatically come to you because you're a Christian? No, it does not. Well, I have the training manual. We talked about this last week in the illustration of weightlifting. You can have a gym membership, have a trainer. He can write or she can write everything out for you. And if you go to the gym and you can wake up early in the morning and get to the gym and you can stand in the gym and watch other people work out and then go home and do it again the next day and do it again the next day and do it week after week after week. And then your trainer can come up to you and go, how's the training program going? Well, man, I've done everything that you told me to do here. I mean, I have the list. I show up on time. Well, are you getting on the machine? Well, no. I just thought it might kind of happen. But people treat Christianity like that all the time. Well, I'm just impatient. That's because you're not exercising your patience. Amen. Well, I just have a temper. That's because you're not exercising the self-control that's in you. Well, you don't understand how quickly I get mad. I probably understand. I was in Bible college and I had a guy tell me, you're one of those guys that gets mad and rips out a tree and then wonders what happened later, right? I would get mad and just lose my mind. Why? Because I let it go. Not because the devil is so powerful and he overpowered me. No, my mind needed to be renewed. My spirit needed to be strengthened. I needed to grab control of my flesh and control my mouth, my tongue, me. Nobody is responsible for me but me. Me. Well, you don't understand what happened to me again. It may be a reason why the way you are, but it is not an excuse to stay that way. I want the peaceable fruit of righteousness in my life. How about you? Then you want to work with the Lord and allow Him to prune, cut, allow Him to direct, allow Him to purposely move you in the right direction. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we'll end up right here today. This will be enough for you because these scriptures, man, they'll make you work in your faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse number 1, but really it's verse number 5. I'm going to read through 1 through 4 pretty quickly here. And then we'll get right into the part I want to get to. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I love that. Notice Peter puts himself as a servant before an apostle. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? In today's church world, where the love of titles is in place, what did Peter say first? He didn't say Simon, he didn't say Apostle Simon Peter. Okay, I won't go there. He said, to those who have obtained like precious faith, glory to God, we all have the same faith. Aren't you glad you have the same precious faith that Peter had? Yes. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of what? In the what of God? In the floating through the ether ways of experience with God. Why do you have to do that, preacher? I don't know. It's just in me. because I want to experience God on all levels. But notice he says grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. Because knowledge gives you access. Faith can't come without hearing. So he says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness through the what? Knowledge of him. Do you want to know this? The word knowledge is used 13 times in these three chapters, and this book is short. I wonder if God was trying to get a point across. through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, praise God, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many think that sounds really good? Now watch what he goes into in verse 5. But also, for this very reason, for what reason? Because you have divine promises, because you've been empowered by divine power, because the blessing and grace and mercy of God is upon you, because you've been born again, because you have like precious faith on the inside of you. But because you have all of that, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor what? Unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's a pretty bold statement there, Peter. A church could be short-sighted and forget that they were cleansed from their sins? Apparently so. I don't want to be that. Do you? I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that at all. I want to be, verse 10, therefore, brethren and sistren, be even more diligent. Somebody say diligent. To make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? If you do virtue, self-control, knowledge, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, if you do these things, you will never what? You will what? That is quite the promise. You will never stumble. Wow, that's a bold statement. Or for so an entrance, so he says, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will be supplied abundantly. Why? Because you're adding to your faith something. Let's talk about the first one and then we'll quit. He says this, the first verse 5, but for this reason, giving all diligence. What is diligence? Diligence, by definition, is speed. Isn't that a great word? Eagerness and earnestness. It is forwardness and haste. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, not lagging, tardy, indolent, irksome, grievous, or slothful in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Have you ever met a slothful person? Have you ever met an indolent person? Have you ever tried to get a job done and you're working with somebody and they're like, I'll get there when I get there? You know, when you load cattle, you have a hot shot. I think sometimes in our workforce we need hot shots. If there wasn't so many lawsuits about this. All right. Irksome, tardy, not lagging, but diligent. You're going after God with fervency. Amen. So you're supposed to be diligent in what? In adding to your faith virtue. So let's talk about this first one this morning. Virtue is what? Virtue is any excellence of a person in body or mind or a thing. It is an eminent endowment, property, or quality. It is virtue is essentially the expression of God in the Christian life. Come on. Virtue is essentially the expression of God in Christian life. An eminent endowment, property, or quality. How do you do this? So, what is Paul saying? Or what is Peter saying? He's saying, add to your faith virtue. What does that mean? Out of the supply of the Spirit within you, which is excellent because it's the resurrected Christ, begin to express the virtues of God in your life. In what? Faith. Add to your faith expression. Virtuous expression. What is more excellent than the nature of God in you? There's nothing. In other words, add virtue, virtuous. Virtue also means moral goodness. It means the original and general sense seems to be blended with the impression made on others. Renown, excellence, or praise. The manifestation of his divine power. That's what virtue is. The manifestation of his divine power. So you're supposed to add to your faith what? Expression of God. Expression of God. So how do you do that? Why, I mean, what we see here is that our faith is to be expressed in virtue, or the manifestation of his divine power through our lives. This is expressing the character of God in every situation because we have knowledge of it and understand what we are carriers of, his divine nature. Adding virtue is responding more and more out of our new nature to everything in our life. So in other words, adding virtue to your faith is doing what? Instead of yelling at your windshield about the vehicle in front of you that does not know how to drive, and they are legitimately out there, and talking to them like they, you know, referencing a Cracker Jack box and where they got their driver's license, express virtue. How would I express virtue in that? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. That's the one. That's it right there. What do I need to do? I need to dive into the grace of God and express the virtue of God. I need to add to my faith an expression. Come on. People say, you will quit fights in your house if you walk in love in your speech. It'll end. It'll end. It'll absolutely end. You just go, okay, praise the Lord. People will go, what's wrong with that guy? He's virtuous. Right? As children of God, we express God more and more. That's the goal. Every year, you're walking by faith and the fruit of the Spirit's coming out of you. The nature of God is coming out of you. You're learning more and more through the renewal of the mind and the crucifixion of the flesh to express the divine resurrection power of Christ that defeated all sin to yourself. Not only because you're obeying, that brings a rain shower, a harvest of fruit of the manifestation of the promises in your own life, but also then with people around you. It's the same thing with any area of your life. How do we express virtue in our finances? How do we express virtue in our marriage? How do we express virtue with raising kids? How do we express virtue in our jobs? How do we express virtue against sickness? Woo! Come on, think. Think, you thinkers. Think. How do you express the nature of God against something that is counter to God? You release by faith the promises of God through your mouth, because the power of life and death is in the... Yeah, it's right there. It's right there. And you speak to that thing. See, whether you realize it or not, we do it every week in transition almost. It's intentional. People think, oh, he gets up there and he says something. No, I have you say it too. Why? Because I want you to have those words in your mouth when you're dealing with stuff in your house. Come on. Because I'm looking at the strongest of the strong, right? I said, I'm looking at the strongest of the strong. You people go, well, last week, you know how many times I cussed? You know how many times? No, no, stop talking about that. You forget those things that are behind because they're back there. They're already in the behind. They're back there. And you go, I'm pressing on. This is where I'm going. Amen? So we're going to go through the rest of these over the next few weeks. But I just wanted to break this one. You, virtue, excellence is in you. Express it. Come on. Excellence in how you, when people walk into your house, does it look like God lives there? Or does it look like divine disruption of the divine order of things has not been established? You say, why you got to talk about that, preacher? Because it's an expression. What does your yard look like? What does your family look like? Oh, well, we're not into performance. Oh, We need, you know, the world should not, their houses should not. I'm not talking about that you got to have the most expensive. I'm talking about that you take care of what God has blessed you with. The world should not look at us and go, oh, those Christians are so sloppy. No, we're virtuous. We take showers. Wash our hair, brush our teeth. You know, put some deodorant on. We train our kids that way. People say, I just don't know why my kid isn't married or why my kid can't get a date. And well, do they wear deodorant? They brush their teeth? How did we get off on that? You better stand. We got to go. I'm going to get stoned if I'm not careful here. Somebody's going to pick up a rock. Praise the Lord. Come on, you do your part and God will do his. Amen? We're virtuous. We have excellence in us. Glory to God. We're thankful for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit was sent and he brings all things to our remembrance that you've said unto us. So we expect that to function daily. Father, we'll remember. You'll bring back to us, Holy Spirit, what has been read from your word. And we'll be doers and not hearers only. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. Lord, that you're not holding our sins against us. We plead the blood of Jesus over us in the name of Jesus. But Lord, we're increasing. We're not going to quit. We're not quitters. We move forward. We don't backslide. And as we do, greater things are ahead for us. Thank you for that, Lord. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.